Hi, this is Pat Lynch on Speak Up at Women's Radio, and we are delighted to be a media partner for the Green Festivals again this year. I think that makes it over 10 that we've been associated with this great event. And incidentally, there are several Green Festivals throughout the year, but just around the corner is the San Francisco Green Festival, which will take place November the 13th through the 15th at the Cow Palace this year in San Francisco, California. My guest today is Christopher Peck, who is a managing partner of Natural Investments, LLC, a sustainable investing firm with 9 offices in 8 states around the country. And with their clients, they are at the forefront of the movement to a more just, sane, and ecologically responsible form of managing money. Christopher is a big fan of Green Festivals. He not only met his wife there in 2004, but he is also a frequent speaker at these events. And Christopher joined Speak Up to share his insights into creating something that he calls a resilient investor. We're looking forward to learning more about that. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you for having me, Pat.
Well, during your upcoming talk at the Green Festival, you will be speaking about resilience. So why don't you define that for us?
Great. Resilience is a word that comes from the science of ecology, and it's been around for quite a long time, but only recently kind of made it into the mainstream. But in the shortest possible sense, it means to bounce back. You know, it's a way of measuring ecosystems, but also now people and cities and et cetera, and how good they are at recovering from a trauma or disturbance, et cetera. We went a little bit farther than that and defined it in our book as it's something that helps us thrive by anticipating and preparing for disturbance, by improving the capacity to withstand shocks, to rebuild as necessary, and to adapt and evolve when possible. So we took it a little bit farther and also in simple terms maybe what we would call bounce back better. So that's our little short definition of resilience.
Well, that sounds really down to earth and something I think anyone who's an entrepreneur, and you must talk to lots and lots of entrepreneurs, you know, I think that I've told people that probably the thing that in my first entrepreneurial effort that I did badly was I didn't bounce back fast enough. So I think bouncing back is a great, let's say, ability or even a value, I think. You have to kind of have an understanding of why you should get up and brush yourself off and doing it again. But how does this apply to investing? What's a resilient investor?
Well, a resilient investor is someone who's, you know, has that kind of mindset that you have, or it's a value, a skill, but also it has that thinking ahead, that anticipation and preparing. So, you know, we have this idea in resilient, you know, in investing, this is just investing 101 of diversification. Well, this, in a sense, resilient investing and what we really talk about in our book is kind of taking that diversification 2.0, like kind of the next level of that, and really looking beyond just the normal things that we think of as investments, not just stocks and bonds and mutual funds, et cetera. We include that too, but also thinking of how your home and real estate and improvements you make to your home, to your own skills and abilities, how those are really a part of what's really a part of this sort of bigger map of investing. So, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about there, but that's just sort of the short first take on it, yeah.
Well, now that's the second time you've mentioned the book, but I don't even have the name of the book. What? Tell us about the book.
Well, the book is called, surprise, The Resilient Investor, a plan for your life, not just your money. And it was published by Barrett Kohler.
Oh, I love Barrett Kohler. Yeah.
Yeah, a B Corporation based in San Francisco. Great publishing firm. Really think highly of them. And
yeah, likewise.
Came out this year, and they do a lot of great stuff, so we are just thrilled to be part of their catalog. So.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations. It does sound like a great book. So everybody take note, and we'll probably talk about that later on. So now, what type of resilient investor are you?
Well,
how did you get into this anyway? Did you take this in college? How does someone
Let me take the background question first. I mean, I have a degree in philosophy and mathematics, so I didn't start in finance or in investing or even business. I was really a philosophy geek and also a math geek. And I did a lot of different things, but my career evolved to the point where I saw that if I really wanted to make some kind of broader change in the world, to do some kind of good, you know, really what's the mission of Green Festival is very near and dear mission for myself, that I needed to start to intervene in the financial system. I needed to be there. So many decisions get made where it's all about the money, and it's all just about that. And I wanted to get into the core of that and see if I could help redirect some of that decision-making that was happening so that we didn't have so many ugly and poorly thought-out things happening in the world. And that's actually very connected to the type of resilient investor I am. In the book, we had some fun playing with this idea of different archetypes, that there's like different types of people who, when they think about the future, they have kind of a similar idea as to what they think might be coming. And part of the playfulness is that all of the names start with D, and we also made the names a little bit playfully teasing of the group of people we're labeling with that archetype. So one of the first ones we talk about is Doomers. So, you know, we've seen them on, they have actually quite a few television shows now, but, you know, those are folks who, looking to the future, think that the most likely scenario is, you know, we're all doomed, that we're going to be living in this Mad Max future. You know, on the sort of the flip side of that are what we would call dreamers, who are pretty sure that we're just about to break through either with technology or developments in consciousness, and that, you know, the Star Trek future is just on the horizon. And I'm kind of in the middle. I'm a little bit more, I know there's a lot of problems, and I know a lot of things are happening to try to improve that, but I'm what we labeled a driver. So I'm like, I see the problems, I know the good, but I'm like really pushing on the actual practical solutions and what we can do to help build a better world.
Well, I know a lot of us feel that we came up really hoping to do a lot of good in the world, but a lot of us feel like we haven't done enough or we didn't quite get there. How do you feel about what you've been doing? Do you feel like you've made a difference? Can you see the difference?
Yeah, I am so grateful for that. I mean, I've been very fortunate in my life. I mean, right when I graduated from college, I worked as a permaculture teacher and instructor. I worked at a native plant nursery. And I've always had right livelihood in that sense. Now, in the early days, I was making $5,000 or $6,000 a year. So it was pretty tight. I was sacrificing, obviously, a lot of economic security for the ability to do what I really cared about. But I've just stayed with it. And over the years, I've been able to have right livelihood. I've been able to make a living, buy property in Sonoma County. I'm married. I have a toddler, a little son, and I have a very, very good life. And I was just saying this morning to a client that the millions of dollars that we now have as a firm that are invested in doing good in the world is very deeply pleasing to me. You know, it's like we're not just in our firm working with money. We're not just, you know, pulling money in away from companies and doing bad things. We're putting money with people who are doing very good things. And that's very satisfying and very gratifying. And Green Festival is a huge part of that. I mean, I remember, you know, 25 years ago teaching classes and talking about a better world is possible. We can have these, you know, ecologically and socially appropriate businesses. And at the time, it was kind of wishful thinking almost. And I remember a few years ago standing on the terrace at Green Festival looking out at this crowd there. It's like there's probably like 10,000 people here. It's like it's not just wishful thinking. It's a reality. And that's, I'm not taking credit for that, but I'm just very grateful for the small part I've played in the realization of that vision that so many of us had.
Well, I figure if you've built a business and you have offices around the country that, you know, other people do think like you're thinking and they're looking for the kind of advice and really, I guess, support for that point of view that they would like to have as well and then do well accordingly. So do you see that more and more people are being drawn to this, as it were? I mean, not
yes.
Obviously at the Green Festival, we certainly would hope that they're there, but, you know, you're meeting people all across the nation.
Yeah, I think that's very true, and I think that the increase in the kind of the mainstream recognition for what we're doing is increasing greatly. I mean, it's in a sense, it's kind of paralleled the growth of organic food and its availability. I mean, that used to be kind of a crazy hippie woo-woo thing, and I mean, our local Raley's, which is a very mainstream grocery store here, there's a very large section of organic, just produce, among other things, throughout the store. So socially responsible investing and ecological investing and hopefully maybe even now resilient investing is on a similar path where people see that you don't have to sacrifice returns in order to match your values, that you can have just as broad a diversity of investment options. And that, you know, finally that kind of that dream of doing well and doing good and doing well at the same time can be realized.
Well, that sounds really exciting. I know to some of us baby boomers, we're a thing. You go, guy. That's the kind of people that we want to see leading the charge here. So I want to thank you so much for all you're doing. And now let me understand, the company, this is the company that you founded, or it's the company you founded with some other people, co-founded, or?
Yes, co-founded. My business partner, Hal, his dad actually started the company 20 years ago or so. He wrote a book called Investing from the Heart, and Hal inherited that company from his dad, and then my other partner, Michael Kramer, and myself and Hal, the three of us are equal owners and managing partners of the company now. And like you mentioned, we have 9 offices in 8 states across the country, and we have enjoyed a pretty nice growth curve. We don't have the central time zone covered yet, so that's a problem. You know, we're still got to solve that. We don't have anybody in the Bible Belt, as it were.
And then you help people who want to invest wisely, and then you work to find good investments and things that fill your value system. Is that what I understand?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Very good. Well, I can't wait to hear you speak. I know you're going to talk about some of these same things, but I think that we really got an insight into what you're going to be talking about, and I'm so happy that you said that you'd like to be a guest so that we can introduce you ahead of time to the audience that will be coming there. I know that they're probably as excited as I am to be able to hear you, especially after hearing this. So the very best of success in all that you do. May it grow and prosper, and you find the place at the central time zone.
Thank you very much, Pat. A real pleasure speaking with you today.
Likewise. Thank you for being my guest.